Well, I'm glad that everything is going well. I'm glad that to see our team is back, and you've gotten a greater appreciation as to basically what I'm going to share today. Today's message is going to be dealing with our culture primarily, but I will touch on things about Latin America. Today is engaging a demonic culture. Engaging a demonic culture. Turn to Acts 3, verses 19 to 21. Yeah. Father, we just come before you. We ask, Lord God, we bind the spirit of confusion right now. God, the congestion that's within me, God, I ask that you dry it up, Lord, so that your people would hear clearly and succinctly what you want to convey today. Open up their eyes to the realities that we are going to be entering into in the near future. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for what you're doing with us, God. I thank you, thank God that you're in control, God, because you have to be. Lord, you just reveal how out of control we are. And I thank you that we line up with you in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Peter speaking, and he says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And he that may send Jesus Christ, he who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the time of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." Peter's addressing the people at the temple after he commanded the lame man to walk. A lot of times what we do is we focus on the miracle and we don't focus on the reality of what's going on. And that's okay when we were babes. When we focus on that miracle and we go, "Wow, this is God." But there's a purpose to what God wants to do. And that's what Streams is about aligning ourselves up with His purpose. Okay? This purpose is more than us repenting and having our sins blotted out. It's going on to maturity to do the greater works that Jesus has promised us to do. It's more than the elementary teachings that we've had. And what I've been doing since Gary had brought his teachings is I've been systematically refocusing your guys' eyes, spiritual eyes, to a place of something that's greater than where we've been before, seeing the greater possibilities. And we have to understand that when Peter commanded this man to rise, he said, "Silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, get up and walk." The point of this whole thing is if we focus in on what Peter did, we should come away and understand he engaged a society that was demonically influenced against the Lord Almighty. Because they could not see what God wanted to do. And in this man's life, he was begging at the steps of the temple. And too many in the church are at the steps begging for something to be given to them when really all they need to do is believe the word of the Lord. Amen? We are living in a day that's going to require more courage than ever before. We can say that we're Christians, and we can say that we know this and we know that and all that other stuff. But nothing matters more than do you know the Lord? And do you know His word? Do you know what He wants you to proclaim? You see, all this other stuff that's been going on in our lives doesn't matter, because what we do is we get caught up in the circumstances. We don't get caught up in the purposes of God. Okay? The purposes of God do not change. He says, I don't change, so that leaves us to change. Okay? And we have to grow from faith to faith, from glory to glory, showing the systematic growth. And I'll use Jen and Jess as an example from time to time, but I can remember when you guys first came and we were down on the beach and you guys just didn't know about what way you should go, what you should do. And we just said, commit your ways unto the Lord. And you guys have. And you've been on this thing for the last 2 years that I've seen this graduation of growth, in which you hear God, you're not sure if it is, and we encourage you to walk through those things like we would anyone else. And when you go through these things, you see how God fulfills His promises to us. And until you get yourself into a place where you're going to say, I'm going to serve God, and I'm going to go, no matter what the enemy throws at me, no matter what goes on in my life, I'm going to line up personally with Jesus Christ, and I'm going to do what He wants me to do. And that takes tremendous courage. And it was tremendous courage that Peter had, being anointed of the Holy Spirit, to tell these people to repent and be converted. Not that your sins would be blotted out only, but that the times of refreshing would come from the presence of the Lord. Okay? But Pastor, what does this have to do with culture? I'm getting to it. Today we are caught in the very same warfare as Peter, as Jesus, as it was from the beginning, and that is for the hearts and souls of men, or mankind. That's what's going on right now. And it is for spiritual dominion upon this earth. Who is going to have dominion at the end? Will it be the sons of God? Or the sons of Satan will have dominion? I've read the end of the book. We win, guys. Okay? We win. So, but there's a part from the place we are today to the part that this manifestation of the kingdom of heaven comes into play that requires tremendous courage for all of us. Jesus Christ, when He rose from the dead, destroyed everything of the enemy, even the fear of death. And He took captive all the armies of Satan. He took all the people that were in hell, in paradise, waiting for Him to come, and He went to heaven. He took everybody with Him, all the armies that were defeated, and He paraded them naked and defeated before all the citizenry of heaven and declared the war was over. He had won the greatest victory because His dominion sets people free. Amen. And that's what we're about. That final blow has not been realized yet in the lives of people today. And what happens is Satan is ever infiltrating into the lives of God's people, making their plans askewed from the plans and purposes of God. And so we need to understand what we're dealing with. This battle that we've entered into, what I've been teaching, what I've been preaching, what I've been living before you guys, has to deal with your belief systems, your value systems, and most importantly, your doctrinal relationship with Jesus Christ. All these things that come in, they form a worldview And if your worldview is just my four and no more, then you have a whole lot of growing to go. If you are not looking at laying your life down, and what I'm talking about is, have you settled to die for Jesus Christ? If someone held a gun to your head, would you knuckle under the pressure and renounce your Christianity? Or would you say, go ahead, kill me. Don't matter. There's 10 more behind me waiting to take over. I've had that personally. So I'm not skittish about what I'm saying. I had to live through this. What we have today in the world system is a system that has had this shift about 5 years ago that has really done something to the people of God, and spiritually we haven't really recovered or understood what this spiritual shift has happened in the last 5 years. We have to understand that our warfare is not against people. Our warfare has to deal with principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. And I think what happens is, and what will happen in the near future is, because I will not have a secular job that will keep me from being mainly focused on, is that I've come to realize that I've given you guys basics, and this year has been putting these things together in such a way that the plans and purposes of God should become your reality within a very short period of time. You should be lining up with the kingdom of God. All your personal plans, all your special activities and stuff needs to line themselves up with the kingdom of God. I'm not saying that you can't have these things. I'm just saying they should be secondary to the plans and purposes of God. Sharon gave me and Irene an indirect compliment by how Gary and Jesse had prepared to go down the shore with them and spend the day. And that's really great, because she's taken those lessons that we put into her, and she has lived them in such a way that she is now ready to move on into the greater things of God. And she's been there with me when we've combated the Mormons and combated Jehovah's Witnesses and combated people that have come to my door and have labeled us in such a way that when they leave, they are so angry that they can't convince us of their demonic lies. We invite them to come in. Why? Because they're deceived. They don't know the truth. We know the truth, and He dwells within us. And we know His Word. And we try to align ourselves to the plans and purposes of God. So what you believe, what you share as far as what you value, and how much doctrine you have implemented into your life shapes and molds your worldview on the things. But we still haven't gotten to the place where we need to understand that the greater works that we have to do is to drive back the darkness. And this is what kingdom dominion is all about. It's taking those high places. And I will do teachings in the future about talking about these high places. And what are these high places? You know, through Scripture, we have to understand that they are a metaphor to what is happening today. But the high places I'm referring to are the places of power and influence. Okay? And we all have a sphere of influence in our lives, with Jess, with her student peers, family members and stuff, Jen with her co-workers, Dan with his teachers, students, Wherever we're at in life, we have a sphere of influence. The world says you can't do this, but we have to stand up and be courageous like Peter did, whether to be obedient to them or to God. We're just going to do what God says to do, period. And it takes tremendous courage, and you have to be willing to settle and suffer the consequences of that decision. And I have to say right now, I don't know. I don't know, because there's too many agendas that we're fighting with. We're still fighting things that should have been done with, and we should have been lining up all along. But that's the plan of Satan. Today, what is going on in this culture today is a systematic elimination of God from any reference of society. There won't be an elimination of God from our money. They'll just eliminate the printed money, and God will be eliminated. He's been pushed out of our schools. The lies of the devil has been that there's a separation of church and state, which I find is not in the Constitution. But yet, there are many Americans today who believe that, let alone Christians who believe that. What has been coming down the line is this secular humanism. Religious humanism, communism, socialism, Marxism, materialism, consumerism, New Age spiritualism, and a whole host of other isms that are running the world. And we're flooding to that. We're embracing the demonic teachings. How can I tell? Because I see it out there every day. And I'm still talking to people and finding out where they are and convincing them about the Lord God. And all this started at the garden when Satan said, did God really say, you know, if you eat this fruit, you'll know good and evil and you'll be as God, be like Him? And that has fed into us for so long that we believe that lie, that, you know, we're selfish and self-centered and no one can tell us what to do. And what we do is we blame others for things that are not working out in our lives, because after all, we know better than anybody else. We acquire education for what purpose? To be further in debt. Preparation. The world tells you that you need a college education to have a job. And what you come out of there is not a job, but debt. And so thereby, you become a slave to the system. We have to understand that God has made a promise that one day soon, in the very near future, He's coming and He's dealing with this once and for all. And all those who have aligned themselves up with the Antichrist, with Satan and his thing, He's going to destroy. He's going to destroy it. The Holy Spirit is teaching us that there is a definitive separation between two dominions. And what we do is we straddle between the two. You're either in or you're out. There's no middle ground. Well, you know, Pastor, I really don't see it. If you look at Revelation 3. Jesus told you, you know, I'd rather you be hot or cold, but to sit in the middle, you know, I'll spew you out. You're either for the kingdom or you're not. Either your plans are secondary or they're not. Or if we just hold them in reserve until something happens that we can say, well, we're moving on. That is not sold for the kingdom. We must engage this society with truth and suffer the consequences or we won't engage this society because we don't want to suffer the consequences. We should be preaching about repentance. We should also be teaching about water baptism. We should also be teaching about baptism in the Holy Spirit. Why? If you know the elementary teachings, you understand what they are symbolic of. They are not a rite or a ritual of the church. They are meant to be life in Jesus Christ. And when you understand that you repent, and you understand that God is ever loving and forgiving, that doesn't mean you continue in with this. As Paul says, you know, do we continue in sin because God has given us a grace? Absolutely not. The grace is given to empower you to overcome this sin. And that's who we are. We are overcomers in Jesus Christ. Amen? That's who we are. But we don't talk that way. We don't even think that way. But we're getting there. We are moving in that direction. And God's purpose for us to get saved is a mighty one. Turn to Revelation 11, please. Revelation 11, verse 15. This is the culmination of our lives. John wrote this account, and it said that the seventh angel sounded, and there was a loud voice in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever." That's a victory shout. But it is predicated on the saints of God getting ready to do this warfare to make these kingdoms become submitted to the lordship of Jesus Christ. How is that going to happen? If we are not engaging society, if we are not doing it. Well, Pastor, I don't want to hear about that anymore. You are a spiritual, supernatural person. You need to change the way you pray and start agreeing with God, as I've said to many of you. Stop agreeing with Satan and agree with God. And start praying what He wants to do. And what your part is in getting this accomplished. That's the truth of it. I try to encourage people on and on about their present situation and getting them to see something down the road. So that you can shoot for that goal and attain it. And Satan fills us with fear and lies. And we don't step out. We don't see the greater picture. We just want what we want because we're selfish, infantile individuals. And that's our good qualities. Take a look at this word, says become in Revelation 15. It's interesting. The Greek word for become is genomai. It means made to become. These kingdoms were made to become the Lord Jesus Christ. It reveals to us a progressive subduing of these rebellious earthly kingdoms that are demonically inspired to stay in rebellion to His Lordship. It is also indicative of our involvement to make it happen. We're sitting here waiting for God to do this. He has set the church on earth to accomplish this because He had said to Peter, He says, "I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against her." He's not going to do it. He's waiting for us to do it. If you don't believe you're destined for kingship and dominion, you will never get out of your situation. You are so much more than what Satan has been filling you with. You have been anointed by the Holy Spirit. Just like Jesus said, "I have been anointed to preach the good news." Do you believe that you have been anointed to preach the good news? What is this good news? Do you even know what the good news is? Jen, I heard about your testimonies. You were preaching the good news. What you are and what Jesus has brought you to. That your testimony is the good news of Jesus Christ. What He does in your life, what He has brought you from, and what He is taking you to. And come on, this can happen for you too. Subduing these kingdoms to take dominion, take authority. That is what you have been God ordained to do. And anything less, you're going to have me harping at you. Because I see it in each and every one of you. And any time that we have a plan that is secondary, that we're making it primary, you're going to have me talking to you about it. So what does this look like? What does this... Why am I so energetic about this? Well, first of all, we need more training. I understand that. The training here is not so that we acquire more Bible knowledge. The training here is for you to go to kick the teeth in of the devil. The last time I saw it, Paul said that you know, we're supposed to put on the whole armor of Jesus Christ. Even our warriors that are overseas right now wear body armor. And body armor is worn in warfare. We are not at peacetime, church. We are in war. But we walk around and prance around like we are in peacetime. Peacetime comes when the king comes. And it's done. Till then, we're at war. So we're going to need additional training. The elementary trainings that we've given to you, and they're elementary. But yet we stumble and we struggle in this stuff. We need to get ourselves spiritually fit. Oh, but Pastor, I don't want to hear it. You've been here long enough. You know that you're supposed to line up with God. You know you had the foundations laid out. Why aren't you putting these foundations into your life? Those are questions I want answers to. And I don't want excuses. Because I have to go to Him. And He has a plan for us. How do you think I'm going to feel when I go to Him and say, well, they just didn't get it, God. He's going to hold me accountable. We have to get ourselves spiritually fit. We have to line up our families. We have to line up everything. Our jobs. Our workplaces. Our free time. Everything has to line up with the kingdom. And if He doesn't want you to have it, and you find yourself going, why is that person always on my door? What is going on with this? I just don't understand why this is happening or that. Have you ever thought about something more than yourself, that God has a reason for you to be active in this? And how important it is for us to align our lives. You see, aligning our lives, these basic things that are going on in your life, whether you're a college student, a high school student, an adult student who's going back for further training, all this is by the Lord's doing to equip you to influence other people. It isn't for you to get just a whole bunch of knowledge so you can say, well, check my alphabet out. I did this. No, God did this. What are you doing with it? That's the question. And this is the warfare that we're fighting. We're still fighting about basic sins in our lives. We're still fighting about basic struggles. You should be past this. We should all be past this. And in dealing with demons and dealing with a demonic occult, we haven't even touched territorial spirits. We haven't even touched dealing with anything. We're dealing with the most inefficient, weakest of the demonic realm. And we're losing the war. Why? Because we're still selfish and self-centered. We need to die to it and pick up the cross of Jesus Christ. Some of the things that happens in our lives, because we don't have the spiritual disciplines, we don't have pure thoughts, we don't have clean speech, we don't deal with our sinful behaviors. Why? Well, if some of this fits you, just think about it. We get totally bombarded by the demonic culture. How? We get demonic doctrine by the things that we're influenced in. That could come from the print media, which could be magazines, newspapers, books. We ingest this nonsense. We could be influenced by television. What are we watching on TV? Think about it. What are you allowing your spirit to feed yourself with? Because everything that comes from that television set is of the demonic culture. Everything. News. I just can't stand the news. It's all bad news. We're going to get to that in a minute. Why that is. All these things are designed to impede you from taking it over. You have brothers and sisters who are advancing the kingdom because they can't find an outlet in the world system. So they're creating their own. VeggieTales is one of them. Because we don't have a system of which we are fighting to pull down the kingdoms of this world and making them submit to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our education system, since God's been kicked out, the education system since the 1960s is that the educational level of most people attending private or public school is about a seventh grade education, and they're graduating. That's why God has put in my heart about setting up remedial lessons for people who have been undereducated. And understand, there is a purpose for why Satan wants this. Radio, internet, whatever you're consumed by, it is all controlled by the world's demonic influences. Demonic philosophies are being taught to our children. Through the public education system to our universities. Our kids go as great Christians to public education and come back out as heathens. Why? Implementation of corrupt politicians armed with secret agendas, who say whatever they have to say, but have no intention of following through, of doing any of it, because their agenda is to move the masses into control. We are in this shift for the first time 5 years ago of seeing the actual creation of a one world system. The need for us to grow spiritually, discerning what is happening, is ever more important than ever before. Matthew 16:8, the Lord says, "And I say to you, Peter, that on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." For the first time, Jesus declared open warfare upon the dominions of Satan upon this planet. And we have to understand that he wasn't just saying something to make us feel good. He was declaring to all those who were in his hearing, to the powers of the invisible realm. And this is where we get messed up, because we think that in the physical realm we've got control, when it's all in the spiritual realm that manifests in the physical realm, the control over people's lives. The war is on, and it's real clear that the conflict will either be dominion by the dark forces for the enslavement of humankind, or the dominion of the kingdom of light, which will set people free forever. That's what we're in. And it doesn't matter what our friends are saying, doesn't matter what our family's saying, it matters what the King is saying. Doesn't matter what I'm saying. Go check it out. I encourage you. Search the scriptures out and see what the Lord is saying. It may not be in the vernacular that you're used to, but He is saying what I am saying to you. We are in a war. We are going to win. The Lord has stated by the prophets that everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken, and what remains is going to be God's. He is shaking the church right now. He is shaking the church to see what is for real and what's not. Those who have this propensity in the body of Christ to think that, I'm good, I got saved. Read Thessalonians and see what Paul says about that. Where judgment comes and on who. The problem that we have is massive. And we could be easily overwhelmed. But if we don't get our house clean, we will not be able to affect other people's lives. And let me give you an example. What has been happening in the last 5 years is an increase, ever increase of chaos, political upheaval, and moral debauchery, coupled with national debt that is in crisis mode. That is what's going on. I'm describing our present culture right now. America is addicted to debt, and it's only in the beginning of the tremors of something worse to come. This is what God is showing me. Housing and financial markets are signaling the birth pains of the end of America as we know it. This is just the beginning. America is printing money that we don't have and is secretly devouring our currency. By that is we will have such inflation because our dollar is not worth anything. Because we've got so much money that's going to flood the market that you could basically smoke a dollar bill. It won't mean anything. What you pay for a dollar may cost you 100 overnight. And it's coming. We have politicians that believe that in leveraging debt with consumerism is the road to national prosperity without paying debt off. And the Lord's answer has always been hard work, thrift, and saving. National debt has increased $6 trillion just over the last 4 years. And it's projected that if it continues at the same rate, we will be in debt for $20 trillion by 2015. If the interest rate, which presently is at 3.2%, rises to 5%, the interest annually will be $1 trillion. Just the interest. That's not even paying debt. Presently, the tax revenue collected is 45% of that money pays for the interest and the debt. So you can see that if we continue to keep spending money, if the church continues to embrace this nonsensical way of doing things, we're going to be caught in this thing too. Another thing, there are 242 million working age Americans. 100 million of them are not working. The government says only 13 million are unemployed. Here's another fact. 47 million, 15% of our population, need food stamps to survive, and the real impact is not even known because there are no soup lines to hand out subsistence to people that are being photographed to expose our national crisis. We are in crisis when almost half the population is supplying for 15%. You see, it's a systematic destruction of our economic system. Why? To bring one world government into play. This does not include Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid that are being unfunded presently that would exceed $100 trillion. I'm going to be lucky. I'm going to see some of Social Security. You're not going to see any of it. Central America, where the poverty is so extreme that it's considered normal, right? But yet, their culture institutes youth violence in such a way that human life is not even valued anymore. Murder rate averages 40 per 100,000. That's the murder rate. Nicaragua, which is the lowest of the murder rate, it's 14 per 100, to Honduras, which has the highest, 80 per 100,000. It's coupled because there's lack of jobs, corruption, political corruption, immorality that fuel this. But there is a systematic destruction of the family, which is going on in this country simultaneously. Why? Because there's a Marxist teaching, socialism is being promoted, class warfare, the rich against the poor, or the haves and the have-nots. It's elimination of basic Christian values, such as honesty, integrity, morality, faithfulness, loyalty, hard work. That's being thrown out. Why? Because we're going to take it from people who work hard, have made something of themselves, and they need to pay for that. Well, they were going to do that anyhow. We just don't need government to do that. We have compromised church leaders, apathetic Christians, all subjected to the promotion of socialism and statism. Statism is government telling you how to live your life. And that's what's happening in this country. You could call it whatever you want. Call it whatever program that you're going to hit yourself up to. That's socialism. It's bad for people. Why? Because the Bible's real clear about how we're supposed to live our lives. We're supposed to help each other and care for one another and do the things that we need to do. Sacrifice one for another. Not have government intercede and take from me to pay for you. Where's the reward? You should be rewarded for your hard work. God rewards hard work. We should too. This is only the tip of the iceberg that's going on in our nation and throughout the world. Abortion, infanticide, euthanasia, drugs, prostitution, pornography, human abuse, human trafficking, slavery, gay marriage, and the list goes on and on and on and on. All to destroy our culture. This is no longer a culture of multi-ethnic people coming together for the same purpose. This is a culture of demonic influence. And understand that with this systematic destruction, this isn't just a destruction for you individually or our families. This is a destruction for our nation. And we're on that path right now. And if we don't stand up and be counted, it will overwhelm us. As I said to you before, there are camps waiting for us because we're going to be a problem to people against this nation that is not God-fearing, is anti-God, is promoting every ism that's in there except Christianism. What are our solutions? Hopefully I began to open your eyes to this culture. We can no longer be blind to the culture that's going on. And it's imperative that we grow up because we have a job. God sees the pain of people out there and you are the answer to that. We can't do everything, but we can do something. That's our motto. What are some of the solutions? We'll no longer pretend to be blind to the ails of the world. These are real people who are suffering real things, and it's really going to get worse before the Lord comes. Two, we must embrace this warfare. You know, there's no absenteeism. Eventually, this is going to visit your doorstep, as it's already visiting mine. What you do is imperative, because the King has set out a command. And we must do as the king has commanded. Does he care about your life? Absolutely. Does he care about your job? Absolutely. Does he care about your children? Absolutely. More than you do at this time. We must start receiving training in how to grow up and become that which God has called us. You know, we talked about discipleship. If you're not being discipled, you know, that's a real problem. You're out of God's will. If you're studying things and you don't have the truth about stuff, you start drifting out of God's way of things. Stop promoting the demonic values. We need to start aligning ourselves and agreeing with God. This is the way we're going to go. As for me and my house, we're serving the Lord. You're going to have a Joshua moment or you're not? My family knows Joshua. We've done it. It's cost us dearly. But we're not crying about it because we know our reward's great in heaven. We just want to win souls. Build healthy people, healthy families that will build healthy societies. Engage the society with the kingdom of light. What do I mean by that? That means be unashamed of the gospel. Stand up for what you believe in. But if you never say what you believe in, you've submitted to demonic influence. Jesus said, what you've heard in secret, shout it out. Tell everybody. Do it. You just may win some souls. Pray earnestly and prevail. By that I mean, we've got to stop with this infantile type of praying that we do. If we believe that God is going to take care of us, we got to stop praying about our needs. Not that it's not real, and not that we shouldn't, but He has a real need. He wants to set this world free. That's His plan, is setting this planet free to be part of His kingdom. Be a godly example and live it consistently. Don't just say you're a Christian. I've told you before, I'm not telling people I'm a Christian. I don't even want to be labeled a Christian. I'm a man following after God. Who are you following? The team went out. They're following God. You had to go 4,000 miles, but it's okay. Did a great job. Give your life for the cause of Jesus Christ first. If you give your life to Jesus Christ, that means you can bring every other area of your life into subjection to His authority and lordship. If you haven't done that, you're demonically influenced. Your kids are out of God's best. You're not operating the way God wants you to operate. Most importantly, you have to develop a God or Christ-centered worldview. What is it that God wants to do? If you understand His plans and purposes and you agree with what He says, because there's no disagreeing with God. He'll let you disagree, but He'll bring you around to line up. Like I did, you know, when He told me, you know, I got to start serving my wife, and I'm sitting there saying, you're not going to turn me into a Susie homemaker as I'm washing the dishes and doing this stuff. God will have His way, one way or another. This culture is not our friends. So stop trying to be their friend. We are in a war. You are the answer. You have been anointed for this. You have been born for a time as this. You are an overcomer. There is nothing too hard for you. Yeah, the situation may look like it's impossible, but with them who believe, nothing is impossible. We didn't think we'd have a building, but I believe God. Now we have a building. Now we're going to take this town. Because this is one of the mandates that God has set for us. And we need to start walking and talking like God does. Who cares what the world says? They're wrong. God's never wrong. Most important thing is you can do this, and God expects you to do this. It's not an option. This mindset of we volunteer to become part of Christ. You volunteered to become part of the army. After that, He has control of your life. We have to stop thinking that we have still control. We still can option whatever we want. Oh, I'll take column C this week, or I'll take column A that week. You have what He lets you have. And as you pursue Him, and as you become more like Him, you become radicalized in a way that His love overwhelms you in such a way that, you know what? You saw how people live in the squalor, in the poverty. Do you want that for this nation? It's coming. It is coming. I'm telling you this. I got out of a secular job so I could get involved more and more into this warfare. I retired from a secular job. I did not retire from the kingdom. The kingdom of God is alive and well in me. The kingdom of God needs to be alive and well in you. And together, we're going to win souls. We may not... I don't want to paint this picture like we're out here to change culture. We are not. God's going to destroy it, okay? We're not going to save it. We're not going to change it. What we're going to do is win souls to repopulate the new heaven and earth. That's what we're about here, okay? So don't think that God's plan is that we're going to change culture. It's demonically influenced. He has to destroy it to bring one that the Holy Spirit is full of power, and the people of God live in unity and love and sacrifice one for another. And His life will be with us. He'll dwell amongst us. That's what He wants for us. That's His plan. The woes of the world is crashing in on us, and the Lord expects us to get involved in bringing in this harvest. There is an end time harvest that is being put together. To be pretentious that it's not going on is to live in delusion. You're deceived. We can see it at the end. We must engage the world one person at a time. In engaging this person, we may be able to influence others to come and be part of His harvest, to fill His house. Because when the Lord comes, His reward will be with Him. I pray that your reward would be great. For me, I'll be just satisfied with well done, my good and faithful servant. Amen. Father, we just come before you, Lord. I've given your people your word. I've given them what you have shown me so far, Lord. This culture is corrupt. But there are people, Lord, who are crying out to you. You hear their voice. You see their hearts, Lord. And you want us to reach them before the end comes. Father, I ask that you stay your hand so that we could be out there bringing each and every last one. That we would be like Schindler, Lord God, who sold everything to save some. Didn't matter what the Nazis were doing to eliminate your people, God. He looked at human people more valuable than material possessions. I pray, God, that we take on His heart, Lord, that these possessions are to be used for the expansion of your kingdom, to winning the lost, that we would be all in, God. Once and for all, that we would say we're all in. Doesn't matter. Whether I live or die, I'm all in. My family's all in. God, I thank you that you were so gracious to us, God, so gracious to me, that when you showed me this 12 years ago, that, God, I wasn't crazy. And now I'm seeing the realities of it. Father, forgive us. Forgive us thinking that we have options on the table. Forgive us for our immaturity. Forgive us, O Lord, of thinking that we're number one when it's you. Cover us in your blood, Father. Cause our hearts to burn with a fervency for you, God. Cause our hearts to burn, God, that we can't do everything, but we can do something. Show us what that something is and help us to accomplish it, God. I thank you for your people. I know it's been a long and tenuous message, but God, stir them. Stir them, Holy Spirit, that as they go on through this day, that they would really check and see where they are with you and make the adjustments, God, that we would be one army, one man, moving out for one purpose and one plan, and that is our kings, and nothing more and nothing less. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.